This morning our text will be in the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 9. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 9. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 9 reads this way. It says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house. And Lord, asking for you, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and our hearts and minds drawn closer to you to understand, Lord, the truths you have for us this morning. We ask that you would speak to those that may not know you as Savior. And then, Lord, for those who know you and are your people, that you would guide us into greater truths. Bless your message, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, How Can These Things Be? How can these things be? Do you believe this morning that God knows more than we do? How much more does he know than we do? It's eternal, isn't it? It's eternal. We must approach the Word of God. And listen, to the child of God, this is a fundamental, foundational portion of Scripture. But I want you to know, to the believer, there's as much meat here as there is milk to the unbeliever. There are truths here that God wants us to have, but we must come to the place to where we ask the question, and that's the work of the Lord. How can these things be? Not, oh, listen, you could say this, I don't believe that for a minute. That's what the world does. But it takes the work of God to open up our hearts and minds to receive the truth. To listen, before even receiving, at least to hear the truth and then to hear from the Lord, to be led by the Lord, to receive it and then believe it, right? That's how it works, God. I receive that as being the Word of God, and now I can believe it. But whether we believe it or not, it will always be the truth. That doesn't change. So whether we believe it or not, it does not change the validity of the truth of the Word of God. But let me explain some things to you here concerning the human heart. The human heart confronts conflict when we genuinely seek to understand God. Let me say that again. Listen, the human heart confronts conflict when it genuinely seeks to understand God. And the reason for that is because God's ways are higher beyond our grasp, beyond our understanding, than the ways of mankind. We are just the creation. We're just the created. God is the creator. Everything that you see that is really worth your attention and being awe-inspiring comes from God. I mean, as biologists study the cell and all the information that's in there, they thought it was just a little thing at the beginning. And as they looked into it, my goodness, they're scratching at their heads at the complexity of all that God has created. That's our God. Amen. He is far beyond. And by the way, we still don't know it all. Amen. In fact, I would dare say we don't even know 1%. Of what God knows. And here's another good thing. He will never end, even when we step into eternity. So the human heart confronts conflict when it genuinely seeks to understand God. Then, when the light of God begins to enter into the human heart, we become perplexed. Oh, you thought it was going to get better, didn't you? We become perplexed because at what God reveals, because the natural mind cannot grasp the mind of Almighty God. And so there's a time of perplexity. And then also, it should bring us to a state of being confounded by what we don't understand. But here's the good news. God wants to make that crystal clear to you and I. As we consider the life of the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, did he understand God? When he stood there and approved of the stoning of Stephen, did he really know God? But wait a minute, did he think that he knew God? Oh, he did. Listen, there are people today in religious realms that just think they know God. Oh, listen, this might be frightening. It might be you. It might be you that think you know God, and yet, listen, we need to realize that when we approach the Lord God Almighty, we are just a speck of dust in comparison to our God Almighty, and may we enter into His presence with humility and with the idea of Solomon, Lord, I don't even know how to come in and go out. Oh, listen, there's a lot of people today walking around the streets. They think they know how to come in and go out, don't they? Oh, look, you look at society, and by the way, they're in their stinking pajamas walking in and out, right? Somebody ought to tell them, please, don't walk out in your pajamas. Have a little bit of self-respect and put on some clothes. Amen? Walk around like they don't even know if they're coming or going. And they think, listen, that they know what life is all about. And listen, in light of the Word of God, He sends His light to help us understand. And the light came in, didn't it? The light came into the Apostle Paul in his life when he was Saul, and it knocked him off his horse. Maybe I dare say that society today in America needs to get knocked off their high horse, because they think, listen, the answers are not in politics. I've mentioned this, and I'll mention it again. It bears mentioning again. How much would you pay for last year's politics? Would you give a penny for last year's politics? Newsflash, this year's politics won't be worth any more. Because the answer is not in politics. Listen, you could have the best president in the world. Look at our morality. Look at the decay of our morality and what we think of one another. That problem can only be fixed by the Lord. And so we need to be careful. Listen, so first of all, there's conflict when the human heart genuinely seeks to understand God. And we're going to see that here in the life of Nicodemus. There's perplexity that takes place. And then there comes a time of confounded. How can these things be? How can these things be? And when you figure all of those things, we're all mixed up. Amen? When it comes to understanding God, it'd be like you trying to order food in a foreign country, and you don't speak the language, and neither does your waiter, but he's going to bring you out what he thinks you ordered. You might be pretty concerned about what country you're in. Amen? They might serve something you don't want. And you might get stuck with something. My mother-in-law, they came to Texas one time, and they wanted to see the Alamo. I thought I did too. Don't get me wrong; it's historical. It's worth going. But get John Wayne out of your head, because that is not what you're. It's in the middle of San Antonio, in the middle of the city, and it's just a little thing. It's just a little. If you blink, you'll go right past it. I kid you not. That's not the story. The story is we went out, I don't remember when we went out to eat for lunch, but my mother-in-law was always adventurous when it came to eating out. And she kind of, there was foods I ate that I never thought I would eat, that I actually like. So we were there, and fortunately for her, she was going to order menudo soup. I don't know if you know what that is. Neither did she. She thought she'd like it. And this waiter came up to her. It was taking up this order, and she ordered it, and he said, "Oh, miss, no, you don't want this, miss." And then he told her, "It's tripe," but I love all kinds of food, and she genuinely did. And I thought this waiter was going to give her an order of this soup. He says this. He says, and I was sitting right across from my mother-in-law, and he says, "I bring you out a little bowl. Order something else." And so he brought that thing out. And from where I sat, I wanted to move. And she venturously took a little taste of it. And she called the waiter over and said, "Thank you so much. You are so right. Please take this away. I can't eat it." And I think he said this. And you might get in trouble with this. You have to be Mexican to like this. He says, because this is just something that is a national. I mean, it is so strong. And it doesn't smell good at all. All right? And we didn't have any babies at the table, but I thought there was one there. Anyway, all right. So, this morning, as we consider approaching the Lord, may we approach with all humility. And I want to take a look at three thoughts very quickly. A man of the Pharisees, that's the first thought. The Pharisees' lack of understanding, and the gift of eternal life explained. So let's consider these thoughts here this morning. And back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And I want you to see God's work in drawing people. Look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. That's an indicator. He came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, the first thing I want to take under consideration is this. Did the Pharisees like the Lord Jesus Christ at all? They were after him. Do you think Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, knew how his Pharisee, how would you say, comrades felt about the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But there was something that was taking place in the heart and mind of Nicodemus that was not taking place in the life of the other Pharisees. And that was that God, and by the way, listen, he was hearing what Jesus was saying, and he was open to listening to the truth, and something took root in the heart of Nicodemus that was not taking place. See, when we come to the Lord saying, I know exactly how God works. Ready? This is how God works. God's going to take all my good, because I got a lot of good, and it's just going to so far outweigh my bad. That's the human heart. Oh, listen, how about this? They would make a wonderful Christian. Oh, listen, if they got saved, boy, could they... I have news for you. In us, there's no good thing. Not even our righteousness, the Bible says, are good before the Lord. And so we get this idea of how God sees things, and we forget, wait a minute. God doesn't see things the way I see them. So all of a sudden, here's this Pharisee, and something takes root. The work of God is taking place in his life, and he says, I've got to have a personal communion. I've got to have a personal contact to talk to this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can see this. Say whatever people might say, I really see something in him that tells me he's coming from the Lord. And not only do I see that no man can do these things, these miracles, except God be with him, I do see that they conflict with what I think God is all about. So I'm going to approach him to get to the bottom of this. And listen, you will never hurt the truth to scrutinize it. Listen, the more you study and the more you open up the truth of the Word of God, the more you're going to see that's going to confirm and settle you on a solid rock. Now, that's not the way the world works. The world says, look over here, look over here. Don't look over here. We don't want all the facts today, do we? Listen, we just want to hear what people have to say. We don't want to really see what's going on. They don't want you to see that. They don't want you to see the underhanded things that are taking place, because then you'll know the truth. See? But when it comes to the Lord says, study, look, examine, because you'll not hurt the truth. All you'll do is you'll solidify it in your heart and mind. And so here's Nicodemus. He comes, and he's coming with the idea of, I'm confused a little bit here as I approach. I'm having a little bit of a conflict. Remember, we talked about that conflict. I know what we believe, and yet I'm seeing there's something in you that's from God. And yet I understand also that I'm having a little bit of perplexity, because you're not in agreement with all the other Pharisees. And so I'm having this, I'm a little confounded about who you are. And so he comes to the Lord. And by the way, listen, believe it or not, you could be a saved child of God, and really you don't know the Lord the way he wants you to know him. And in fact, listen, God wants to take us, as we heard in the special, to higher ground. And so you can't do that with the idea or with the mentality that, oh, listen, I know God has nothing to say to me, and he won't. If that's our approach, God, listen, you can't teach me a thing. Well, guess what? You can't teach that person a thing, because they've closed up. But Nicodemus all of a sudden hears something, and I hope all of us hear something concerning the Lord, myself included. Listen, that he says, I've got to come to him, and he says this to him in verse 2, Rabbi, we know. Who's we? Could it have been him and the other Pharisees? They had a little conversation, but they didn't like what he was saying about them. Listen, we, I don't know who we is, but we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, that should have settled it, shouldn't it? But it didn't. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, if God's with him, then you better listen to what he has to say. But I want you to know God was working, and now God's going to work not only in drawing him, but he's also going to work in revealing, listen to this, unexpected truth. He did not know he was coming there to learn something he didn't know. He thought he was coming for God to confirm who he was and how he stood. But that's the human heart. Listen, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please tell me everything is good. You're a listen, you are a Christian, and yet your life's not right with God. Just let me know. Listen, was Nicodemus a ruler of the Jews? Was he right with God? The answer is no. But maybe he thought, listen, he saw something in the Lord Jesus Christ and the human heart, you know, he's from the Lord. I'm seeing some things that tell me he's from God, and I'm coming to him, and I want him to solidify my position. I've got some questions. I've got some concerns. But I want him to say to me, you're a good man. But that's not what God did. So notice what happens here as we consider this, God's work in revealing unexpected truth. So he says, he just finishes, hey, master, no man can do these things. You've come from God. You're a good man. And look how Jesus answers this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, not to we, I'm not speaking to your every, I'm speaking to you. God this morning is speaking to us. And so he says, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you think that shook his world? Wait a minute, listen. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was brought up, they memorized the first five books of the Bible. I dare say they were committed to the Word of God. And people thought of them, if anybody knew God, they surely did. And guess what they thought? If anybody knew God, we certainly do. I mean, we know the Word of God. And so Jesus unloads this truth on him that brings confrontation, conflict, perplexes him. In fact, I dare say it confounds him. So Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So here we have God revealing an unknown, listen, he didn't even know this, an unknown desire for the truth. Nicodemus could have said, forget about that. Listen, the Lord tells us things in his word today about an overcoming faith, about the fruits of the Spirit, about being holy because he's holy, and believers can approach that and say, well, forget about that. I can't do that. Well, here's the good news. God's never asked us to do it. He said he would do it in the life of the believer. See, please listen. Believers come to the certain truths and they just say, well, that's just for Paul or Abraham, David, Daniel, Job, but don't put that on me. Well, it's too late. God's already, if you're saved, God's indwelt you with the Holy Spirit. He's deposited to your account talents to invest in him that would bring forth a dividend that would allow everybody to hear, if you love the Lord, crowns in glory. Because Paul said, hey, look, I finished my fight. I'm getting ready to go home. Hey, listen, there's laid up a crown for me. But not for me only, he said, but for all who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, God wants you as a believer to know he's given you, he's gifted you with the blood sacrifice, the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamos, the dynamite power to change your life. He changed your destiny. That's eternal. That's a gift of God. He'll never take that back. You're born again. And when you're born again, you've got your heavenly father just like you have your earthly father and mother. When you're born into their family, nothing, you can't change that. You can do whatever you want. You will still be the child of your mom and dad. Likewise also, when you're born again from above, You're a child of the King, child of God, because you were born into His family. I know some people don't like that. I think they don't understand the truth. Every child of God says, yep, that's what God did for me. When I got saved, they know I was born again. Now, well, wait a minute. Now we want to go from there into understanding what God has given to us in the Holy Spirit, the talent to invest. A lot of believers, I'm afraid, have buried their talents because they're looking at what God is saying and they're looking at themselves. And if they're looking at themselves, they've taken their eyes off of who? They've taken their eyes off of Jesus. And as long as you keep your eyes on yourself, you'll sink just like Peter did. You'll never walk on the water. And by the way, if you'll remember this, listen, remember what Peter said? See, he had a conscientious decision. Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. Call me. He didn't just venture out there saying, I got this. I can do this. Oh no. If it's you, Lord, you call me. And in faith, Peter walked on the water for a short time, but he walked on the water. Likewise also in your life and mine. Lord, if this is what your word says, and you've indwelt me with the Holy Spirit to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a light in darkness, salt to the world that needs to see your sweet savor, and it's not in me, bid me to come. Bid me to walk in your ways. You think God will hear that prayer? Absolutely He will. So here we find this revealing of a desire that he didn't even know he had for this truth. So he says, how can these things be? Can you enter the second time when you're old into your mother's womb and be born? So verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, listen to this, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now I want you to know something. I gave him about 5-10 minutes, but this Catholic priest has a YouTube channel, young fella. I'm going to say probably in his 30s or 40s, and late 30s or early 40s, maybe a little older. Anyway, he says, I'm going to explain to you about baptism. And he came to this text. And he actually tried to say that had nothing to do with the natural birth. It had to do with infant baptism. Please tell me, who was the infant in this story? Where is the infant in this story and how that redeems and saves people? See, he was teaching Nicodemus, this man said, that he needed to be baptized and should have been baptized at birth. I was floored. And he says it has nothing to do with... he brought it out. He says some people think it has to do with a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And you know what I said at that time in my mind? That's exactly what it has to do with, and turned him off. Anyway, so here we go. Ready? Jesus answered verse 5, and please tell me if you don't see this. And by the way, listen, I am not slamming people that are trapped and deceived in any other faith but the truth. Listen, God even wants them to hear the truth. The problem was, it was on a YouTube channel, and I could not interact with the man, so it was pointless for me to watch anymore. Okay, it's not that I wouldn't, if I had a face-to-face meeting with him, I would gladly read to him what he neglected. He just stopped short. He didn't continue on, but we're going to continue on. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He stopped there. Now listen, please tell me what this means. That which is born of the flesh, is that not your body? Is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is spirit. Is it not? I mean, you cannot tell me that that's not a fleshly birth and a spiritual birth that Jesus is talking about. There's no child here. There's no infant here. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Do you see that? Listen, that poor fella that had that YouTube channel, he could not see this. He couldn't, you know why? Because he knew it already. He, listen, in his mind, God's going to, he's a priest. Whoo, man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Had he opened up his eyes, this man, who I dare say knew more of the Old Testament than this priest did, would have realized when God was addressing him that maybe he didn't have as good a footing. But of course, after all, he dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's of the Catholic faith. So in his mind, he probably thought he was right, but he was not doing that concerning the Word of God. And so, notice this. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Listen to what Jesus says. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Tell me, where does that have to do anything with water baptism? Listen to this. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, let's go get baptized. Is that what he said? No, he said, how can these things be? How can what be? How can a man be what? Baptized or born again? What's the truth here that we're getting to? See, listen. Without the second birth, there's no life. Without the second... You can get dunked all stinking day long. That has nothing to do with your eternal life. That has only to do, listen, and it's always been for believers. Those who've been born again, those who've been saved, to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking to the water baptism, you're on sand, not on the rock. If you think you're, listen, you're just identifying. That's the first step of obedience. I'm identifying. I am willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ now because of what he's already done in my life. And so we find here that Nicodemus still says, how can these things be? That's a good place to be. And by the way, listen, as we approach the Word of God, it would be good for you and I to say, Lord, how can these things be? Lord, when I approach the Word of God, I need you to tell me, may I never approach the Word of God. I got that. I learned that. I studied. I cannot tell you how many times I've preached out of John chapter 3, and every time I've preached, I see something new. I get new understanding. I get more light. I get meat to eat. And by the way, the unbeliever can be given the milk to get saved. And by the way, Nicodemus was needing the milk. And so now we find the last, as we consider this, the Pharisees' lack of understanding. Look at verse 10. Jesus is going to explain to him. Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Let me ask you a question to this Pharisee who was a ruler of the Jews. How do you think that would have come across? You're a ruler. In other words, you've got the Bible memorized and you don't know. You know how Jesus said, this is so elementary that if you don't have this, you've missed it all. But see, listen, he approached the Lord in genuine humility. He wanted to know the answer. And here's what he knew. He didn't have the answer. He didn't just sweep it under the rug somewhere. And so he says, I want to know. He says, verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You've not received the truth. Listen to this. If it couldn't get any worse, verse 12, if I have told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? What's the problem in this man's life? Believing. Did you hear what Jesus said? If I've told you of earthly things and you believe not, you've got to be born again to enter into the kingdom. That's the general foundation of faith in Christ. Faith in the Messiah. Faith in the promise of God in the Old Testament. He didn't even have the foundation. They were so far removed from it. And by the way, listen, if he was in the natural, if he was in the flesh and not being led by the Spirit, he would have been offended. He would have been put out. Weren't the Pharisees? Didn't he tell them certain things and they got mad at him? Were their hearts receptive? No. And by the way, we can shut God off too. Verse 13. Notice this, and no man hath ascended, listen to this one, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Oh, what was that? Did you hear that? He that came down, even the Son of Man, he came down from heaven. Is that Jesus? Wait a minute, he's in heaven. Did you see that? Because all three are one. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How can that be? Well, look how God set up time. Isn't that a wonderful thing, time? Don't you like time? I like time. I wish I had more of it, right? With the past, let's just erase the past, would you have time? How about the present? If we erase the present, would you have time? We wouldn't be here, would we? How about the future? If you took that away, would we exist? No. Isn't that amazing? The past, present, and future. All of them are components of time, and yet they're all the same. You can't have one without the other. You can't have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit without Jesus. Can't have them. And that's what these people were trying to do. They knew about the Spirit. They knew about God Almighty. All right. So he begins to explain this to him. He says, listen to this. And verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he knew this one, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew what happened there. All they had to do was, as the song says, look and live. That didn't make any sense. You mean I don't have to do anything but look? Yep, and you'll have life. Is it that simple? See, we complicate it. Look and live. You know, the world doesn't understand something. You know what they think about Christians? Tell me this isn't true. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're holier than everybody else, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, you guys think you're righteous. Well, we are, but not in ourselves. In me, I have nothing. See, I am the recipient of what I did not have and what I will never have by myself, and that is the righteousness of the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I am. That's all I am. I only have entrance to life, not because of what I do, but because of what he did for me. And they don't get it. You see how far away the heart of... As soon as the lost world hears Christianity, tell me, listen, they think they're better than we are. That's what the world says. They think we're better than we are. Well, we're not in ourselves. The only thing that makes us good at all is the blood of Christ to our account. That's it. But wait a minute. So that just means you get the blood of Christ and it doesn't matter what you do. No. If you really have the blood of Christ, you'll see it as a precious thing. It is possible that you can sin and you will. I mean, you're going to have that battle. But listen. That ought to be a bed of nails for the believer, not a pillow. In other words, it ought to bother us when we fail the Lord because of what he's given to us. We don't have sinless perfection on this side of eternity, but it ought to bother us because of what he's given to us and because we've seen him give victory and bring his power into our lives and that we have failed him because, listen, when we fail the Lord Jesus Christ, we've taken our eyes off of the Lord and looked at the world around us. And the world is there to set you up for failure because it hates God. Didn't Jesus say that? The world hated me. If it hates me, guess what? It's going to hate you. You can't make friends with the world. It's going to influence you against the Lord. Do you know, listen... Hollywood was never going to be right. I know, listen. You watch some of the old programs in the 50s and in the 60s, and married couples slept on different beds in the sitcoms. Did they not? Because they said, this is what we won't do. But it was doomed for failure because it was all... And by the way, listen, you'll find out that a lot of these actors... were so anti-God and so abominable before the Lord, you never heard about it. They were dignified, they were held up, but man, oh man, were they wrapped up in the filth of this world. And now, the cat's out of the bag. There's no stopping now. They're letting you know, yeah, we're of our father, the devil. We're coming to destroy that which is holy in the appearance, in the minds of people. And that's what they're doing. They're people are feeding on that. If you're feeding on that, do you think you're going to see Jesus? People feed on that. Not going to happen. So here he is, he lacks understanding, and it's only God that can and will bring us to the place of humility to see, listen, and to desire the spiritual truth and to prize him as the pearl of great price. Jesus brought Nicodemus to the place that he could have never brought himself to, and that is to the place of everlasting life. We can't bring ourselves there. Notice how the Lord explains the gift of God. Listen to this. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this. This is the Lord, not the world. Listen, I was asked this by one of my best friends as I witnessed him. Why does God got to judge? He didn't want to accept. I'm telling you about the gift of eternal. Are you a sinner? Have you ever sinned before? Yeah, but why does God got to judge? God's making you a way out. God's trying to get, and you're questioning God. God's trying to help you with the problem. He couldn't see the problem. The problem would have been fixed in his mind if God just didn't judge. But wait a minute. Have you ever heard this? Well, bless God, I felt like giving them a piece of my mind. We were judging. We judged this. Ready? They did us wrong. That's what we're doing. And by the way, don't answer this, but have you ever given somebody what for? Because you thought they gave you something you didn't deserve. That's the world. The world wants justice. You hear that all the time. No, they don't. They don't really want justice. They just want you to make me happy. They don't really want to examine all the truth. They just want to go on, if somebody says something, well, they're a racist. That's what you hear today, isn't it? Everybody's a racist. It's really funny how racial people can be racist because they don't hold the same position, the same ideology of what the world is trying to promote, which is anti-God. So either we little man is right or Almighty God is. Now, the world is going to, because it's under the spirit of the devil. They're blinded. They're going to be fooled. They're going to follow him unless they submit to the light of God's truth. It requires humility. Oh, but as long as you know everything, there's no humility. And by the way, the child of God can be in the same place. I just can't do that. I just can't do that. Well, what we're saying is, Jesus, I just don't believe you can do that in me. Oh, I don't know that I really, really think that. Well, that's what you're saying. Jesus, you can't make me a royal priesthood. Jesus, you can't make me holy because you're holy. Jesus, you can't, and fill in the rest. My goodness, the scriptures are full of it. Well, let's just see. Ready? Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Isn't that amazing? But that the world through him might be what? Through who? Not your righteousness, not your good works, through him you might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I don't see anything there about being baptized or good works. But he that believeth not is condemned already. That's how you start. The moment you're born a sinner. Because your parents were sinners and their parents were sinners. All the way back to guess who? Adam and Eve. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice this. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Ready? That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And anything that's opposed to what God says. Ready? Listen. Anything that is opposed to the word of God is darkness. You're a racist. Oh no. I'm just a messenger. I'm confident of this. Every knee will bow before the Lord. You don't have to believe that. You can say I'm out of my mind. But back in 1987, May 8th, when Jesus saved my soul, he revealed through his Holy Spirit that he has given me salvation and eternal life. I will never forget that. And he has done many things to confirm that. He has opened up my eyes to what I could not see. And that's every human being. We are born blind to the spiritual things. All you can see is this world. All you can see is what people say. It's all you can see without God. You can hear what they say. And people believe it. How many politicians have lied to people? I promise you this, I promise you that. On both sides of the aisle. And they don't deliver. I know what I said. Too late now. You're stuck with me for life. Well, that was a big mistake anyway. Whoever set that up. And so, and they love it. The devil loves it because he says, you be God. That's what he says. You be God, and I'm sure of this one thing. You will never see Jesus. You be God in your life, and you'll never see the truth. Because the Bible says, listen, ready? Well, let me just tell you what the world says. No, let me just tell you, I'm sorry, listen, this might be racist. Let me tell you, forgive me, all right, in advance, not really, but anyway, here it is, ready? Walt Disney, this might be racist, his motto in his cartoons years ago was, follow your what? No. Yeah, it is. That's what he said, follow your heart. But I said no because that's not what God says. God says the heart of man, that's mankind, that's male and female. That might have been another racist statement, I'm sorry. All right, ready? So here it is, ready? The heart of man is, listen, desperately wicked. And who can know it? Oh, but I like that. Ready? You hear people say, I know what I believe in my heart. I want you to know something. The Bible says your heart and my heart is desperately wicked. Amen. Unless it's led by the light of God's word, we will walk in darkness. Now, listen, do you think I say that to be unkind? That's the truth. I was blind, but now I see. The world mocks that. Well, we all got two eyes. We can see, not spiritual things. You just might think so. But listen, listen and ask yourself, whose drumbeat are you marching to? Ready? Here it is. And by the way, if you profess to know the Lord, the same follows suit. Verse, we're going to read three more verses and we'll be done here. Ready? He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were what? Evil. Who decides what's evil? Oh, we don't decide what's evil? Don't you and I should get together and we'll just decide, we'll make up our own rules. That's evil, right? That, wouldn't that be brilliant? Listen, the law comes from God. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. Otherwise, if you and I did it, say, oh, you know what? Today, I think it's okay for me to shoot people. If it's up to us, or maybe you might decide it's okay. Well, listen, people have already decided that some people ought to be removed from this world. They ought to think they ought to not be in existence. May I tell you, true believers don't believe that. Because God's not willing, listen, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to be condemned. He loved the world. But the world's got to humbly submit to Almighty God. The world thinks too much of itself without God. Listen to this. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the what? They hate the light. God's word is light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. In other words, you'll see what I'm really all about. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought, how? In God. Did you see that? Anything done in your body, in your life, that is light, are wrought in God. They're brought forth in God. We can't do it ourselves. So here's the thing. Listen. Yes, the Lord was talking to Nicodemus, who was a lost man. But does this not apply to the child of God? How can we say, and this will cause us to shut our mouths, if we're walking in darkness, that we're children of the light? If we are wrapped up and entertained by the same filth and the same garbage that the world is, we'll not condemn it. We'll not condemn it. And so what are our deeds? Are they wrought in darkness, or are they wrought or brought forth by God? And it's not that we manufacture them. It's that we call upon the Lord and say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. In earth as it is where? In heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I'm praying that, where is that going to take place? If your will, Lord, if I want your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, might that not be me? That your will be done in my life? So let me ask you a question. Child of God, we know that the children of this world are in darkness, but where are we standing? What are we adhering to? What are we succumbing to? It should be the Word of God and the will of God. And so God, listen. Time is drawing short. Time is drawing short. People think, I've got a whole lifetime to live. I think the Lord's return is surely nearer than ever before. We say, even so, Lord, come quickly. But wait a minute. There are still people who don't know Christ. And the Lord's going to come. But there are people that he knows are going to trust him, that he's wanting you and I to witness to. Let's listen. But it's got to be the power of God in the life of the believer. It's got to be the power of God. Jesus is our example, right? How in the world did the Lord speak to Nicodemus? It was by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, because he was God and is God. How in the world will you and I communicate to the lost world? You think we're going to debate them into eternal life? You think we're going to have a good argument? We have nothing unless the Spirit of God opens their eyes. Yeah. And may we say, oh God, fill me with your Spirit that I might present your gospel to those who have no hope without you. The invitation, again, is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, sometimes we may have conflict. Sometimes we might even be perplexed. Oh, but Lord, may you place our hearts in the place of submission and humility, that we might realize and see you, Lord. Only you can bring that to pass. Who you are, Lord, Almighty God. If there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior, I pray that you would allow them to see their great need. And then, Lord, if there are people that know you as Savior, and I believe most do, may we still see our great need of you. Bless the invitation. May we call out to you. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.